I'm Dave Freund, and this is The Next Page. And I have a very, very special guest with me today, Lisa Cavallaro. Lisa, welcome. Glad you're with us.
Hi, David. Thank you. Thank you for having me. This is a real pleasure.
I'm super excited about the topic that we're going to talk about today, which is the law of attraction. But why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself? I know you're an author.
Yes, I am an author. Let me to go way back. I've had a rather long career that started out in accounting and business. I was a tax accountant for Niagara Mohawk before Marissa was born. I left Niagara Mohawk to help my husband grow a specialty food business that we purchased in '86. And we began that employee with that company with three employees, and we grew it to 135 employees before we sold it.
Wow.
In 2004.
Awesome.
Yeah, it was fun. But just before selling that business, I was going through a tough time at home, specifically with one of my kids, someone you might know, David.
Okay. Yeah, and I was going to say, you kind of dropped a little hint there about another major accomplishment in your life, and that was Marissa.
Yes, I did.
You are Marissa's mom.
Yes, I am.
Mm-hmm. Great. So tell us about that challenge.
Well, okay. Well, to put it briefly, the troubles that I was having with Marissa turned out to be the catalyst to like a really amazing journey for me, life journey. And to be clear, it wasn't fun and games in the beginning, but considering what it is today and what it's been for a few years now, it was so worth the effort. So a long story short, I was determined to fix Marissa. She and I would go head to head on things.
Okay.
We just didn't see eye to eye. And it's probably at the time she was maybe 11 years old. But so I enrolled at SU. I wanted to get a master's degree in marriage and family therapy. I thought that I could, quote unquote, fix my daughter, who was giving me a lot of problems.
Sure.
So while I was there, I met a really good therapist. She had a great reputation. And so I made an appointment to meet with her. And after telling her all the troubles I was having with my daughter, I got my calendar out and I said, okay, so when can you see her? When can I bring her in? And she said to me, I'm sure your daughter's lovely. I prefer to work with you. I was like, oh, no,
wow.
No, you don't get it. No, I'm really good. I know what I'm doing. I'm a really good parent. I love my kids. And she wouldn't budge. But there was something about this woman that I really did admire and respect. And so I worked with her, and I'm really glad that I did, because only good came out of that relationship. And I think, and so the main gist of it was that, you know, we can't change other people and other things, but we can change ourselves. And it took me a while to learn that, but I think it was really important for me, especially considering the work that I do now. After being a therapist for a few years, I went into becoming, I heard about coaching and I wanted to become a coach. So I became a master certified coach and then a certified weight loss coach. And I'm also a Reiki master. Currently
awesome.
I work with adults and I work with kids and on lots of different issues. So that's what I do.
Wow, that's great. So tell us about the book.
The book kind of goes through, it's a very brief, it's an ebook. And for any of your listeners that are interested, if they're interested in the history of me and Marissa and how we got to the point where we are right now from not so great of a beginning, they're welcome to take a free download off my website, lisacavallaro.com, if you sign up for the newsletter, which you can later come off the list if you want. That's fine with me. I won't be offended.
Okay.
So there's a free download there of the book. It's called No More Drama, How to Make Peace with Your Defiant Kid.
That's great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and what I will do, Lisa, I will put the description in I'll put the link in our description for the podcast people can just go to the podcast description, then find the link to your website.
That'd be awesome. That's great.
But that would be great. That would be great. And thank you for making it available via the download, because I know it's also available on Amazon. So if they really want to purchase the book, mm-hmm. and have the hard copy book, they can get it at Amazon.
Yes, that's an option.
Yeah. So tell us what, so you had this difficult time, and this is one thing Marissa learned early on, that all the questions that Dave says he's going to ask, he always asks different ones. So now you're living a little bit about what Marissa puts up with me.
Okay.
So you talked about the time that, so maybe when she was about 11 is where you wanted to find a way to fix her, fix mm-hmm. the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
What's the relationship like now?
It's like BFF is what comes to mind. Marissa and I yeah. are like best buds. It took, and I think it's really common, I think, for a lot of mothers to go through what I went through with Marissa.
Mm-hmm.
We all want to change them or wait. We either want to do it ourselves, make them change, get tougher on them, be harder on them.
Right.
It's hard work. I mean, it doesn't feel right. It's very frustrating, and it could take forever. And sometimes it works out, and the kids grow through it, as they say, they mature or whatever.
Sure.
But I think what I did was that I created change in myself first, and that's kind of like what I talk about in the book. That mm-hmm. I think I'm sure you're familiar with the term limiting beliefs. And it's like limiting
yes.
belief is something that we think that really limits us from moving forward. And so one of the limiting
right.
beliefs I had regarding Marissa was that she needed to respect me. And the fact was she didn't. She didn't respect me. She was doing things that I was interpreting as not respectful or how a girl
yep.
should respect
mm-hmm.
her mother. And so, like, I changed that belief, and when I changed it into a belief that I, and it wasn't easy, don't get the impression, but I worked on changing a belief instead of using,
sure.
Marissa, she needs to respect me, about, I need to respect myself. And that was like pretty
yeah.
much a 180. And one of the ways that
okay.
I could respect myself, there were a lot of ways I could respect myself, basically by sounding off and screaming at an 11-year-old, forcing an 11-year-old to do things
mm-hmm.
they were limiting me. I mean, it wasn't respecting myself either. I was making myself feel worse
right.
as I did it. So it was real. It was challenging those kinds of beliefs. That's what it was.
Sure. Okay. And I love how, you know, you talked about the relationship today, because I've seen it from the conversations I've had with Marissa, and I know how much she appreciates and loves her parents and being able to spend time with you. So that's just awesome. And that should give, you know, every parent of, you know, preteen and teenage kids a lot of hope
mm-hmm.
that there is a way, and it does get better. And there are difficult years, but I like how you said, you know, you went trying to figure out how to change your daughter, but what you had to learn was you had to change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Not what I wanted to hear in the beginning. Right.
No, which really rolls into a lot of leadership issues too, you know, where we want to change people
yes.
when maybe the person's not the problem.
Exactly.
Great. Well, thank you for sharing that and for sharing some pretty personal things there. I really appreciate it. Let's talk about the law of attraction. What is the law of attraction?
Let's see. Well, aside from being one of my favorite topics to talk about, the law of attraction basically says that like energy attracts like energy. And
okay.
everything is energy. So things that we can see, things that we don't necessarily see, everything is energy. And
mm-hmm.
it also says that things of like vibration that have the same energy are attracted to each other. So
okay.
really, so the law of attraction is nothing new. It's a
right.
universal law, and it's similar to like to the law of gravity. It's been around for years. But to be honest with you, I really just learned about the law of attraction when I first became, when I first entered life coach training in 2007. It's
mm-hmm.
pretty new to me. But since hearing the LOA terminology, I hear it coming up a lot lately, though, in conversation,
mm-hmm.
More than I ever did. I don't know if it's because now I finally know what it is, but I don't think that's the case. I think it's just that more people are aware of it and talking about it and learning about it. And most importantly, looking for ways to leverage the law of attraction in their lives. know, people want.
Okay.
We're looking for ways to use the law of attraction to make our lives better. And so that's been my focus for a long time. But if you go back to even Einstein, Einstein says that everything is energy and that all energy communicates with other energy. And so, like I said, everything that we see has energy, and even things that we can't see has energy. And the law of attraction is what brings those energies together. So,
okay. So how would that relate to our health in our life?
Oh wow, it has a lot to do with our health. So is it all right with you if I talk about just three words that I use often in my work?
Sure.
And I'll wrap it around to health, how it affects our health. So
okay.
So we talked about things that have energy. So a lot of the work that I do, we talk about thoughts. Because thoughts, even though we can't see them, they do have an energy to me. And this sounded so bizarre to me. And it might sound a little strange to your listeners too, David. But so I get it if it does. But stick with us. So our thoughts are energy. Our words are energy. And there's science behind this too. I'm not a science person. I was never interested in school in science. But I did do my homework on this one. And I've read scientists such as Greg Braden and Bruce Lipton, Joe Dispenza, Lynn McTaggart, to name a few, and they write extensively on the topic. But how we think is energy, and so is how we feel, because our thoughts create our feelings. And so, and I said there were three words that I use a lot in what I do, and they're thoughts, feelings, and actions. Because our thoughts cause our feelings. How we think about things causes our feelings. And our feelings cause us to take certain actions. So,
okay.
And our actions get us our results in our life. So, like, just to put this, to give you an example, a simple example of this, is like when I'm in a good mood, when I'm feeling good, things are going well for me. Right. And then people cooperate. When I run into people, they cooperate and they smile and things seem to just fall into place. I'm on time for my appointments and food tastes really good to me. I'm enjoying myself. I'm having a great time. When I'm in a bad mood, I'm not feeling so good. Things seem to be working against me. I have problems with people that I'm dealing with and I'm rushing around and I can't seem to catch up, and I stub my toe, and I drop things, and it's like one annoying thing after another. I mean, this makes sense, right? It ties into the mood that I'm in, or how I'm feeling about it,
And the mood drives our physical well-being.
Well, the mood, yeah, absolutely. Like the mood is like how I'm feeling is how I'm feeling.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm actually feeling it in my body, like whether I'm feeling well or not so well.
Sure. So then if my mood is negative, that's creating physical stress, or I'm feeling that mood in my body. And then am I more subject to illness and things like that, or?
You got it.
Like, it breaks down my immunity so that I'm susceptible to different kinds of illnesses then?
It does, because and bringing this back to the law of attraction, when we put out a certain vibration, so if I'm feeling all this negativity, it's my signal that I'm putting out to the universe in my vibration to bring more of it back to me, to bring more of that negativity back to me. So when you ask how we can use the law of attraction, like in our health, so the law of attraction is always working. It's 24/7. Whether I knew it was happening back before 2007 when I became aware of this, or not, it was happening. It was working. So what we can do is we can be mindful of the fact that it's working, and we can pay attention to how we feel and notice when we don't feel good and recognize that it's not something outside of me that's causing that feeling. It's how I'm thinking right. about it. It's my perception of it.
Right.
So, and right. then, and then I can change how I'm thinking, and then I can feel better even before that thing outside me has changed. And see, that's what I had to right. learn that when I, taking this back to my situation with Marissa when she was younger, like I was trying to force some change that I really had no control over. The change had okay. to start on the inside of me. So the way that we can do that is to change how we think about things to affect how we feel better.
Okay.
The kicker for me, though. Go ahead.
No, finish your thought with the kicker for you there.
The kicker. Here's the kicker. I think that we like to be right. Like, I like to be right, and I know a lot of other people that like to be right. I just, there's something about, yep. like, being right. And that's something that sometimes being right, I don't feel good when I'm right, because what I'm thinking, it may be true, but it causes me to not feel good. And that's one of those instances okay. where I have to prioritize feeling good over being right. And really, all it involves is a different perspective.
Okay. I like that, feeling good over being right.
Exactly.
That's really good.
Mm-hmm.
It, you know, this really reminds me of, and this is probably why Marissa suggested that you and I do this podcast, was one of my posts earlier in the summer, which the title was, "It was just a thought, or so I thought." You know, that we mm-hmm. don't pay attention to the power in our thoughts.
Yeah, exactly. That's very true. Very true. It's not just a thought. And I think that's so true. Like, that's how I used to think about things. Thoughts are something that just take place in my head and nobody can see them. And so nobody knows about them. It won't affect anything or anyone else.
Right.
That's not true.
Right. So how do you take control of the thought life?
How you take control of the thought is well, like I mentioned, to be aware of how, when I'm not feeling good about something, to recognize that
right.
it's not that thing that's causing it, it's how I'm thinking about it. So to,
okay.
so then I get deliberate in how I think about things. And in the beginning, it was kind of like, it took more work in the beginning, because I think what we do mm-hmm. is, not I think, I know, that we all get into patterns of thought. Right. So we all know certain people that if I tell this person this particular thing, I already know, I have a good idea how they're going to respond, because they always seem to use the same lens in looking at things, whether
sure.
it's from
sure.
like a glass half empty or glass half full or pointing
right.
the finger at someone. We kind of get an idea. We all have like our own MO as far as how we are. And it really involves breaking out of that pattern and establishing new patterns. So once you become aware of how, like, you're thinking, like, I noticed that I've been really like down on things lately. Why is that? And then I start to look at the things that I've been down about. Like, what have I been thinking about
yeah.
lately? And I can nail it. And I'm like, well, how can I think about that differently so that I don't feel so down. Like, how do I want to feel about this situation? Instead of feeling hopeless, I want to feel like I have some control. Like, I have some control, and I want to feel like I have hopeful rather than hopeless.
Sure.
How can I do that? What can I think about it? Sometimes it really, like, you got to put my finger up to my head and go, okay, where am I going with this one? And really think about it. But I
okay.
don't give up until I come up with something good, because it's going to affect how I
sure.
feel.
Sure. And I love how you said that you look for a way to think differently about that subject. You don't try to push the subject out of your mind.
Right.
Because there's some things that you can't change. You can't just dismiss the reality.
Mm-hmm.
But what you can do is change how you view that situation. You can change the reality of the situation. You can't change the situation.
Exactly.
So if we use the scenario that caused you to go to the to get your master's and meeting the person up at SU, The reality was that Marissa was your daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And you had to change how you viewed the relationship with her and how you viewed yourself. Because you weren't going to change the daughter.
Exactly.
And really, you know, those of us that know Marissa well are really thankful that you didn't change her because she's amazing. But so I pulled that out, you know, and scribbled it down here that, you know, you had to feel differently about how could you feel differently about the situation in a hopeful way as opposed to a hopeless way.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, one of the things, and this is, I mean, you and I would both say, well, everybody needs to have a coach to help them think through these things because we believe the power in that, you know, but one of the things that I was recently doing for myself is I added a reflection question that I actually reflect on first thing in the morning. And I've been doing this for probably 6 weeks now. It's what am I feeling right now?
Mm.
And my reason for doing that is that I want to be able to find patterns of, you know, are there days when I feel down or exhausted? You know, if I start to feel that way, then I can look back and say, okay, what happened? What happened to my calendar? What happened? What was going on in my life? You know, there may be things that are out of our control that are going to make us have some more down days. But a lot of times, there are things we can control.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, it could be people that were around that might just be pulling us down. So for me, I put that in for my own reflection question. And then I can go back through my journal and see, okay, how many days was I feeling very empowered, very energetic, enthusiastic about the day versus, I'm feeling off today. And that's kind of like that awareness piece that drives me back to then, all right, what's happening in my life that I need to change my perspective of?
I think that's...
So for me, that works.
That's a great process. That's just, I mean, and it's a great process, A, because it's working for you, but B, right, just because it shows your level of commitment to your own personal development and growth. And I mean, that's why we're all here. I mean, it took me a while to learn that, but it's not always easy, and it does take effort, as you say. I mean, it involves your journaling, your writing every day, you're going back and looking it over, and then you're learning from it and you're making changes in moving forward. So
exactly.
And you're not placing a burden of change on anyone but yourself. Not that it's a burden. Right. It's an opportunity. It's an opportunity for growth is what it is.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever bumped into somebody who just simply doesn't want to view things differently? Like they're stuck in this negative, helpless, or, you know, mindset. Have you ever found anybody that you've worked with where, you know, this was clearly the case, and how are you able to help them get out of it?
I have to say, I don't know that I've found that I've worked with anyone who is that against it. That I think that when people come to me, that they're they have an idea. Like I market myself as an LOA coach, law of attraction coach.
Mm-hmm.
So they have an idea, and so the majority of them that come, like they either know about law of attraction and they're excited to work with an LOA coach, or they've heard about it and they want to know more and they're open minded and excited. But I mean,
yeah, and that's
I've met those kind of people, like in my personal life, though, where maybe a discussion will come up and people don't want to budge. And my approach is, and this is the same as if I did have a client that was totally closed, it's okay. I mean, it's, we all have our own process to go through. And, and that I was kind of stubborn and stuck on my old ways when I first went to that therapist. And you know what? That was an important part of my own process. And I think that the more, I think is uncomfortable. I needed to get really uncomfortable until I was willing to entertain other possibilities. And so somebody who is uncomfortable and doesn't want to entertain other possibilities, they're just not uncomfortable enough. And you know, I don't wish discomfort on anyone, but if they get more uncomfortable to the point where they want to make change, then there's plenty of people that they can turn to that would help them. But it's as you know, we're all on our own individual paths and journeys.
Right. And I wasn't at all surprised with your answer there, because you know, when the people come to you, they've already recognized the fact that I don't want to stay where I am.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like this stuck spot.
Mm-hmm.
Help me figure my way out of it. And that's something that I've also, you know, shared with folks when companies will try to engage me as an executive coach and the person doesn't feel a need to be coached, you can't help that person.
Right.
You know, until they recognize this is really, I'm stuck and I need somebody to help me think through it. You know, now the reality is that all of us have things that we can be coached through,
mm-hmm.
you know, to help us find a greater awareness of what's going on in our life. But they, you unfortunately, sometimes folks are stuck. And until they, it's like the old proverb, you know, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear.
Exactly.
And, uh-huh. you know, teacher might have been standing there all along, but oh, lo and behold, mm-hmm. I need some help. Look mm-hmm. who's here.
Right.
Which was flow back to your law of attraction.
Mm-hmm.
That we found the person that we needed to help us because we needed the help.
Exactly.
I have here your thought, the words we started out with: thoughts, feelings, and actions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the thoughts develop our feelings, which work into action.
Mm-hmm. That's
pretty basic.
Yes, it is. But as we said though, it's not any small task here. I mean, paying attention, because
right.
a lot of us are used to like pretty much cruising through life, doing the same things, sometimes, often,
yep.
usually, without really thinking about them.
Right.
Without really
cruise
thinking
control.
About. Exactly. You know what? I love this is like yeah. a silly little story, but I heard it once and it just makes so much sense. And sometimes I share it with my clients. But I remember hearing this story about a woman who she was making a roast, a pork tenderloin roast for her family. And so every time she did it, she would put it in this 9x13 pan and she would cut the ends off and then put the ends
right.
in the side there. Have you heard this? Do you know where I'm going mm-hmm. with this? And
keep going, because our listeners may not, but
I love it. And then and she always did this. And then somebody one day, it was either her husband or one of her kids, said, you know, why do you always cut the tips off the end of the roast? And she said, you know, I don't know why. I learned it that way from my mother. So she called her mother and she said, Mom, why do we always cut the ends off the roast before we put them in? And she goes, oh, well, because the pan I used was always too small. And
right.
here this woman, her pan was
right.
big enough, but she was still cutting the ends off. So the reason I share that story, and I think it's just so great, is because a lot of times we borrow other people's ideas, like other people's thoughts.
Exactly.
We make them our own, and we don't even think about it. And so,
exactly.
And so using the law of attraction, knowing that it's there, and knowing how
yep.
our thoughts are a part of it, play into it. We have really good reason to really to take note of our thoughts. Why do I do things this way? And why? Well, if it makes me feel great, then that's good enough. But if I don't feel good doing this sort of thing, then I really need to question the thoughts behind them and change them.
Yeah, exactly. And if you know if I'm not feeling good, let's get some awareness going. Look inside and figure out what's driving this emotion and these thoughts. It's the way we're, and I like this too. You know, we could either feel good or be right.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You know,
it's
so,
really using the power that we have. Our power is in our thoughts.
Yeah, that's awesome. And again, I can't believe how the parallel between this and what Marissa and I talked about when I said that, when I wrote that thing, it was just a thought, or so I thought.
Or so I thought.
You know, the people just think their thoughts are just these random things, and it really is not. Well, this has been great. I really appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule to talk to us. So I have one more question that I know that our listeners want to know is, how are Marissa and the girls?
Oh, they're a lot of fun. Marissa is, as you know, David, when you go from one child to two children, it's not just, you don't just double
You're
the
right.
workload. It's not just double.
Right.
It's more than double. And I couldn't
exactly.
be prouder of how she and Derek are handling it. I mean, they're such good
That's
parents.
Great.
And it's just so evident, because I have never seen a child more in love with her little sister than Isla is. They're just, she adores Lena, and it's just, it's beautiful to watch. So they're all doing really well. She's making really good use of her maternity leave, establishing some great bonds.
Great. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Well, when you speak to her next time, please give her our best.
I will. I will.
And,
thank you.
And tell her that we do miss her, but we understand. She needs this time
she'll appreciate
to bond
that.
With her family. And good.
thank well, you. It's
Lisa,
been fun.
Thank you so much. Great. And glad you could be with us and glad you enjoyed it. So with that, I'm Dave Freund, and this was The Next Page.